Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Autogrill First Half 2014 Financial Results Presentation.
Good afternoon and welcome to our First Half 2014 Conference Call. As usual, I have to draw your attention to the disclaimer on page two. All the numbers we will be referring to are on a constant exchange rate basis, unless we say otherwise. Now, let me hand over to Gianmario Tondato, our Group CEO. We will take your question from at the end. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm very delighted with our second quarter results, as both EBITDA and margin have improved, finally turning around the negative trend that we had experienced for many quarters. The beginning of the year hasn't been easy due to the severe weather in the U.S. We have closed the gap and more in the second quarter, as we have delivered better profitability across all the areas, something that we have not been able to achieve for some time. HMS Host delivered very good sales and positive progression on the margin front after a blip in the first quarter. In Northern Europe and Asia, as Walter will describe, we are developing the business. Walter, I mean Walter Sai. In Italy, sales have finally grown on motorways, and importantly, profitability has increased by 100 basis points. This is the first result of the continued hard work and efficiency, but also the closures of non-performing points of sales. Our strong push on new offering and products are also delivering. In the rest of Europe, we are seeing close to the double-digit improvement in both sales and EBITDA. The good performance is the result of a significant amount of work in a still uncertain environment. Take, for example, the traffic in Italy that is still very soft, even if the traffic numbers are finally positive. In conclusion, we have done a lot, and we have a lot more to do, including on SP1, a program with the aim of improving the performance of our point of sales in terms of profitability and cash flow generation. We designed and developed the program in 2013, and now we are implementing the plan. We are doing this standardizing the quality of our products to improve capture, increasing the flexibility of our labor cost, reducing equipment on our point of sales, and so CapEx in the medium term, building a system that is able to better manage demand in light of changes in light of changing traffic. Take an example. In the past, a coach load of passengers stopping a small location at night would be a challenge to manage from a product point of view. Now, with our new approach, the product is ready and available. In conclusion, we are pleased with the numbers that we have delivered in the second quarter. We are on the right track to deliver the targets we set at our Investor Day. Now, Walter Sai will walk you through some of the new contracts that we have won. Walter Sai is, we call him the head of the international. Our international business is actually in charge of the Far East, Middle East, and Northern Europe. Thank you for listening, and now Walter.
Thank you, Gianmario, and good afternoon to everybody. I am pleased to say that we are delivering on the development activities we set out in our Investor Day in September last year, and without a doubt, we've been very successful with awarding contracts close to 100 million euro in annual incremental sales. What you see is that we said in the Investor Day we're targeting on two main areas, which is Northern Europe, which is U.K. and Scandinavia, and Middle East and Asia. In Northern Europe, we strengthen our positioning in Germany and in the United Kingdom, and also in Scandinavia. In Germany, we won Düsseldorf Airport, which is the third biggest airport in Germany by traffic. Our core offer will be our own bistro restaurant. As you probably recall, bistro is one of our most successful new concepts and market introductions created and tested at the Milan main station last year and is now adapted for the airport channel. For the U.K., we extended our presence in the airport channel, entering East Midlands Airport, where we operate most of the food and beverage facilities. We also won the Eurotunnel contract, which is the railway stations connecting the UK and France, and we will be now the main provider of F&B services in both Eurotunnel terminals on both sides of the channel. What you recognize also on the chart is that we have about 100 to 150 million sales opportunities under evaluation for Northern Europe and Scandinavia. But most importantly, in this region, we're really proud of the success we achieved in this, the context of Helsinki. Helsinki is a hub growing importance for traffic between the Baltic and Asia, and especially Russia and Japan. Helsinki has been in the hand of our main competitor for more than 30 years exclusively. And with the award of our 16 new point of sales, we now will operate about 50% of the food and beverage outlets and sales in these important airports. In Asia, we are leveraging on the acquisition done last year in Vietnam to develop operations in that country, to tackle other priorities countries in the region, and to maximize our presence at a later stage. We are establishing a regional hub in Ho Chi Minh as we speak. In Vietnam so far, we opened 34 points of sales, and we are on track to open additional 20 more facilities and developing as expected, especially from a profitability standpoint. On the other side, in Indonesia, we entered that market 8 months ago, and I'm very happy and pleased to say that our team did a tremendous job to open in a new country on 3 airports in an 8-month period of time. Today, after winning Bali, Surabaya, and Bali Papan, which is the airport of Borneo, we're operating in all those 3 airports, and we opened our first shops a few months ago. The early results in terms of sales and labor productivity are extremely encouraging, and we're looking forward to develop these markets further. In Asia-Pacific region, including the Middle East, we have about 350 million in contract value under evaluation as we speak. In conclusion, I want to share with you that we are delivering on our strategy in the areas we identified as more interesting by leveraging on our recognized reliability, our unmatched brand portfolio, our operational know-how, our development capabilities, and our best-in-class standards in service, quality, and employment. And I'm more than confident that we are able to further develop this successful path.
Thank you, Walter. Now let's move to the comment of the numbers. Alberto De Vecchi speaking, and good afternoon to everybody. As Gianmario said, we comment today a good first half of the year. In the first 6 months of 2013, HMS Host has continued to perform with solid sales progression and growth in EBITDA and margins. Italy is showing stability, and our business in the rest of Europe is performing very well, both in terms of sales and EBITDA. And the second quarter is showing an acceleration of the growth of our results all across the board. Now let's start a review of our first half results with HMS Host. For the sake of comparison, in the comment of the variances, I will exclude from the data of the first half 2013 the contribution of the US retail business, which we disposed last year. In the US, our sales in airports grew by 5.7% and almost 7% on a comparable base, with traffic growing by 2%, with a strong outperformance driven by higher number of transactions and higher average ticket. When last March we commented the result of full year 2013, we spoke about those US airports we defined as fractured. That is, those airports where we renewed our presence only partially due to limitations set by landlords on the packages that any bidder may be awarded. In the occasion, we told you that fracturing is not a new phenomenon in the industry and that is not limited to the US market. We also told that although fracturing may limit our growth in the very short term, it is bound to be absorbed with the time. The result of the first half of 2013 confirms that. In fact, while in full year 2013 we lost $67 million sales due to the fracturing in four large U.S. airports, in the first 6 months of this year, the reduction of sales in the same airport has been less than $9 million. At Los Angeles Airport, for example, last year we lost sales for approximately $16 million due to fracturing. In the first half of this year, the net balance of lacking sales of those stores we did not renew, the growth of sales on those stores we did renew, and the additional sales of new stores awarded is positive for an amount of $7 million. Outside North America, as Walter mentioned before, HMS Host has generated sales of about $112 million, 14.4% higher than the same period of last year. With our most important location outside North America, that is the Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, continuing to perform well, with sales growing by 4.3%, and new openings in Vietnam, Russia, and Turkey, which in the first half of the year contributed additional sales for more than $9 million. North American motorways also performed well. On a comparable basis, sales grew by 3% compared to a traffic that, up to May, was falling by almost 1%. This result has been achieved thanks to an increase in the average ticket and notwithstanding the severe weather experienced at the beginning of the year. Total growth of sales in North American motorways has exceeded 6%, also thanks to the opening of point of sales after refurbishment on the Ontario Toll Road. Now, moving to EBITDA, if we exclude the contribution of travel retail in the first half of last year and the different impact of one-offs in the first half of the 2 years, HMS Host EBITDA grew by 4.8%, with the EBITDA margin on sales increasing by 10.2%, that is 50 basis points up toward the first half of 2013, driven by a better sales mix and better labor productivity in terms of both more transactions and more sales value per hour. In conclusion, HMS Host has performed very well across the board. The conclusion is even strengthened if we look to the HMS Host performance on the second quarter. In terms of sales, we see an acceleration of the growth, which were positive in the quarter by 6.6%, while they were growing by 4.7% in the first quarter. The acceleration can be seen in both airports and motorways, and in both North America as well as in international operations. The EBITDA margins of HMS Host in the second quarter shows an advantage of about 90 basis points on the same period of last year. Now let's move to comment the performance in Italy. In this case, I will focus my comment on the year-to-date data, as the different position of Easter in the 2 years limits the significance of the variance analysis on the second quarter only. Underlying sales, especially in motorways, have finally stabilized after more than 2 years of steady decline. On Italian motorways, in fact, sales were around €411 million and flat compared to last year, with traffic up to 1.7% as at April, and I think it's 1.5% as at May. It's a date that has been communicated today. Market sales were up by 1.2% in line with traffic, or almost in line with traffic, while F&B sales were still down by 0.8%. The fall that you see of 2.9% in the Italian sales is only due to closure of non-profitable stores at city centers and selected airports. You may recall that we have undertaken a program of streamlining of our point of sales, with the aim to concentrate our investments on the most contributing and promising one. In the first half of 2013, those stores now closed were contributing sales of about $15 million. Notwithstanding this reduction in sales, our margin in Italy has declined by less than 1 million. The very limited flow-through on EBITDA is due to the fact that the lost sales were mostly from non-profitable exited point of sales. Now, before moving to the rest of Europe, I would like to take you back to Italian motorways and to the contract subject to the renewal process. As you probably remember, we renewed 21 points of sales out of a total of 41 under bid. They were the contracts we wanted, those we felt had the most potential. As you know, there was a delay in the award, so we are just starting now to exit the point of sales that we did not renew. As a consequence, you will start seeing the dilution of our selective approach to renewal on the Italian motorways network on sales, starting from the current third quarter. Now, moving to the rest of Europe, where we have seen strong growth with sales up by over 7%, also thanks to the new openings in Belgium, and Germany, and UK. But even more positively is that with sales growing by 7%, EBITDA grew by 15%, thanks not only to the sales performance, but also to the efficiency project that we undertook last year. You will recall, now moving to the financial part, that is to the cash flow statement analysis, you will recall that the first part of the year is the least contributing in terms of cash generation. Thanks to the positive result in terms of sales and on working capital management, we deliver good cash flow. The positive change in cash flow generation in the first 6 months of this year compared to the same period of last year is about 85-86 million euro, and it is due to less investment for 30 million and higher cash flow generation from the business of about 55 million euro. Included in the latter is the residual cash-in of $17 million in the first half 2013, still related to the disposal of the U.S. retail business. Our due to this change in free cash flow, our net financial debt at the end of the first half of 2013 is about 690 million. In conclusion, HMS Host continues to perform in terms of sales and is back to where it needs to be in terms of profitability following the hiccup in performance of the first quarter. Italy is showing signs of stabilizing, and our streamlining program is bearing fruits. In the rest of Europe, we have seen strong performance. The trend we have seen continues, and I can update you with our sales figure at to week 29, that is that week ending on July 20. HMS Host, Airport and Motorways continue to perform strongly. The rest of Europe also continue to perform very well. Italy shows the impact of the exit from the non-renewed stores on motorways I mentioned before. So given the performance so far, we confirm our guidance for 2013. Thank you, and now we are happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can register for your question by pressing star followed by one. If you want to cancel your reservation, star followed by two. The first question from Mr. Tim Ruskell from Credit Suisse. Mr. Ruskell, please.
Hi, good afternoon. Two questions from me, please. The first is, if I look at your central costs line, your corporate costs in the second quarter, they've reduced quite significantly by 30%. I just wondered if you could explain to us whether that's something you're going to expect to continue into the second half of the year, or if it's one-off, and if you can just explain what's behind that line. And then secondly, clearly you've had a very strong second quarter. EBITDA's up around about €7 million. In light of that, your guidance isn't changed. but you're probably not going to have a desperately strong second half in order to sort of beat your guidance. So I just wondered if you could share with us your thoughts around anything in the second half that we should be aware of, because the momentum at the moment looks very good, and that would suggest there's a bit of upside risk on your EBITDA guidance for the year.
For the first, taking into account the first question, please remind that last year we were under the merger. So on the corporate cost, we book some cost related to the merger process. Obviously, this year we are not merging, and these costs are not there.
So this is indication more for the guidance. I think that for the first half of the year, is temporary. Is also due to the fact that the reorganization programs has had a different profile during the year. So I don't expect that eliminating the one-off cost, Elisabetta was mentioning now, there are major differences on the corporate cost this year.
Maybe to help close that one out, can you give us an idea what you think the total corporate costs are going to be for the full year 2014?
We don't give specific guidance on specific lines of our P&L. Of course, I think that there are no major changes on this line. If you look at the history and consider the one-offs that we mentioned in our report, you should have a reasonable indication.
Next question from Mr. Jaafar Mestari from JP Morgan. Mr. Mestari, please.
Hi, good afternoon. I have two questions, please. Firstly, on HMS Host, you mentioned that Q1 was a blip for HMS Host, and indeed margins are now up 50 bips for just Q2, excluding US retail. Could you give us just a bit more color on the sources of this improvement, and in particular whether your new procurement deal in the US is already helping margins there? And secondly, on your group CapEx guidance for the full year, which is unchanged at around 210 million, in H1 you spent 75 million in CapEx. So that implies some over 120 million will be left in H2. My understanding was that you would not be doing most of that spending in Q3 in terms of refurbishments. Obviously, you may want to keep as many sites open as possible during the high season. So should we understand that you're going to spend the largest part of the remaining CapEx in Q4? And if that is how much you plan to spend in Q4 alone, then do you have a first indication on CapEx spend for 2015? Or should we consider that refurbs will be done by the end of Q4 2014?
I think that I start from the second question. Say that we expect, you're right, that we don't expect to have major investment program in the third quarter, because normally we tend to stop the capital expenditure program during summertime. So the most will be concentrated from October to December. The guidance of this year, as we mentioned in the past occasion, is also a bit higher than what we normally spend, because we have a program of very global refurbishment of the cash registers in U.S. that we will start, in fact, in the second half of the year. Having said that, it is always very difficult then to, because we record, we book our capital expenditure on the advance of the various projects, and so it may be that we at the end of the year we don't finish. There is no doubt that the commitment we have are consistent with the number that we show. That in terms of cash or capital expenditure actually paid out, it might be that at the end of the year we are a bit short of this amount. But I don't think that the guidance that we give is still reasonable, and is reflecting what we are spending. So maybe we can spend something in January and not in December, but at the end of the day, this is the cash out that we expect to do on the capital expenditure programs that are already ongoing. With respect to the profit in U.S., say that there's been a recovery in part. I don't think that we can say that it is exactly on the project that we have in terms of improvement in the management of the cost of goods sold. I think that from one hand is a better mix. In the second quarter, we have had a better mix in terms of composition of our sales, namely, say, more beverage in proportion than food that helps margins. That this is one element to consider. Also, the quality of the sales we have done in U.S. in the second quarter is improving in terms that we see more also more traffic business related that in general has a higher ticket. So this is also an advantage. And then, of course, all the rest has been that the other improvement is that part of the result of the non-exciting result in terms of margin of the first quarter has been generated by the fact that we had a very high level of store operational cost related to the very bad weather, especially on motorways that we had at the beginning of the year. So in terms of snow clearing and in terms of heating, we spend a massive amount that, of course, is not being repeated in the second quarter.
Okay, just coming back on the first CapEx point, then can we start thinking about 2015 as being a more normalized year in terms of CapEx proportion to sales? I think you previously commented about the sort of 4% level in the medium term, and then if you were to spend more next year, it would be because you haven't spent everything of the 210 this year. Is it the right way to look at it?
Well, I said before, in general, we say that our ideal amount in terms of the incidence of CapEx on sales is around the famous 4%. Then it depends on, apart from special project like the cash registers, you don't change the cash register every year. That may result in some temporary pickup of the capex. In general, we think that this general guidance across the year is still valid. So the fact that we tend to spend something in between, let's say, 800 and 700 and 200 million, depending on the renewals. So it's critically related to the renewals.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
180, excuse me, Jamayo said that I said the wrong number, in between 180 and 200 million, excuse me.
Yes, okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Next question from Mr. Roberto Cecchinato from Fidentiis. Mr. Cecchinato, please.
Hello, good evening. Just two questions for me. Could you share with us kind of that guidance for this year, at least the guidance range given that you set out your CAPEX and EBITDA guidance? And second, do you have a specific ratio, debt to EBITDA, below which you would...
Excuse me, but it's very difficult to hear you. I don't know if you're playing with the cat with something in front of you. Paper, it's really...
No, it's just bad technology, I think. Do you hear me better now?
Better now.
Okay, just two questions. If you can share with us net debt guidance for this year, at least the range, given that you already provided the EBITDA and CapEx guidance. And the second question, if there is a specific debt to EBITDA ratio below which you would consider resuming distributing dividends. Thank you.
Well, in terms of the rationale of the guidance, so by the way, this way we recover a misanswer that we gave to the analyst of Credit Suisse, because we've been cut when answering the second question that the analyst posed to us, and I apologize on that. And by the way, I hope that he's still on the line. But say that the reason why we thought to confirm the guidance and not to say modifying is that basically it is still, we are still in the middle of summer. You know that we do around 40% of our numbers in summer, and you know, in principle, the numbers are nice, but not that nice in Italy yet. Also because besides of the fact that we mentioned before, that is the fact that we start seeing now the exit from the non-renewed contract, and of course you run the risk that although on only 6 months, you lose the 3 months that is summer that are of course the most important. So it is in proportion more important what you lose now than what you may lose in the first quarter and the last quarter. But apart from that, is the fact that unfortunately, so far, the weather conditions in Italy have been very poor. That means, especially in terms of temperature, it has been very cold, and that of course is not helping not only the sales but the quality of sales. As we said before, in the second quarter, we saw a fantastic result in terms of profit in U.S. Because of the increase of beverage. And there is almost perfect correlation in between temperature and the sales of beverages in our industry. And you know, this is why we prefer not to guess about say an improvement in the guidance so far, because we have to see whether we can recover in the second part of summer what is not manifested in the first part of summer. And unfortunately, you have only 3 months of summertime, and if you lose 1 month of the three, is significant. So for this reason, we prefer to be prudent. But of course, we are working hard to beat the expectation, but at the moment, we don't see, apart from, of course, the obvious impact of the exchange rate. We have kept at the moment a very prudent exchange rate, because this is the one that we used in the guidance of May, that is 1.37. At the moment, with the present situation of the exchange rate, of course, this is very pessimistic. We expect that will be better, but you are perfectly in a position to calculate which is the influence of a different exchange rate on our numbers. But say that the reason is because until the summer is not sufficiently advanced, we don't want to overpromise. But as far as the leverage ratio that we consider, I say that we consider an optimal leverage ratio a leverage ratio that is in the range of 2 times the EBITDA. I think that in between 2 times and 2.5 times, it is really fine. Of course, if it is 2 times, I think that we have a very strong balance sheet. Then the decision whether to distribute dividend or to invest is, of course, related to the opportunities. To invest in new opportunities for expanding the business.
Well, thank you.
There are no more questions at the moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I remind you that you may register for your questions by pressing star followed by one. A new question from Mr. Flavio Cereda from Merrill Lynch. Mr. Cereda, please.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I have a quick question on the SB1 rollout. Just from what you've seen so far, has it proceeded along the lines that you were expecting? Were you surprised by anything positively or negatively? Are there any unexpected developments, good ways or bad ways, please?
I think it's going well. Of course, we are in the middle of the rollout. I think the positive surprise is that, you know, it's not only, let's say, a more efficient way of serving people, so less expensive way of serving people. It's also something that is improving our top line, especially in the downturn. The example of the coach stopping at a small location, you know, all of a sudden, the impossibility to serve people, you know, unless you have a system like SP1, you know, is very important. One other thing is that, you know, it's changing the mix of our offer, especially at night. And so we have, for instance, the average ticket is improving, definitely, you know, because before, in order to avoid wasted, you know, wasted product. You know, the store manager, what they tend to do in the past was to display the less expensive product. Now they can do. They are able also to expand to display the more expensive products, you know, the most expensive products. So, well, basically, in a nutshell, you know, we're improving also our average ticket. These are the first result, the positive results that we... Of course, there is a lot of training to do because, you know, people have to move from the back of the house, you know, in front of the people. Service is not really properly done yet, you know, but we are working on that, you know. Now, there is also the peak season in Italy, so it's going to take time, you know. And again, if there is a problem these days is that we have a lot of overlapping of costs. Probably we don't need all the costs that we have in the business right now because there are probably more people than we need, you know, in a perfect ideal world, you know, when this program is deployed and the stores are still learning, you know, how to handle a process like that, you know. But so far, I think I'm very pleased with the process, frankly speaking. And more than anything, what I'm pleased of is that, you know, our operations are really embracing this program. It's changing their lives, you know, and it's something that is really make me happy.
Okay, thank you.
There are no more questions.
Okay. We know that there are many conference calls after hours, so we say to you, have a nice evening, and moreover, have a nice summer. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference call is over. Thank you very much for your attention.